The thing to do is just begin the Gemara, starting from the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis, starting Gavibai Seima, again, part of the interpretation of the previous Gemara. Vibai Seima Mai Yamach Masa Ones. And just go through the Shakla Vitaria first, just to get a basic sense of it, through to Dalid Amud Beis, until the Achakach Noeg Shiva Simei Avelus, till Amar Mar, basically. So it's really a daf. And then we're just going to run through on Thursday. We're just going to get try to highlight some of the, to identify some of the challenges and issues that we want to discuss. And then to begin in particular, again, go through with Rashi, Gemara Rashi, and Tosis, obviously. I'll look up the Rambams. But the first real topic that we're going to do within this is to try to figure out something which is very puzzling, and that is. What the relationship is between aninus and avelus regarding the heter of bi'ilas mitzvah, right? Because the Gemara here says that again, we've read it already. Both bi'ilas mitzvah uporish v'noeg shiva simei mishta, achkach noeg shiva simei avelus. It seems as if the avelus had the avelus begun already, then there would have been no ability to be bo bi'ilas mitzvah. It sounds like you could only be bo bi'ilas mitzvah because the avelus, meaning the kvura, which technically triggers the avelus, has not yet begun. And the question is, why should that be true, especially according to the perspective that there's aspects of aninus that is doraisa and of avelus that are only drabanan? That's one of the things we're going to discuss also. So why would bo bi'ilas mitzvah be justified in aninus, stafka, and not in avelus? So this gets us into a partially, at least half of the topic is obviously, what do you gain by having bilas mitzvah right now and an early, let's say, onset of shivas and mishteh. But half the topic also is just to analyze the relationship between aninus and avelus, in particular this massive debate between the Rambam and Ramban regarding what the relationship is between aninus and avelus. In other words, we know that technically avelus, dine avelus, begin at the time of the kvura. And the question is that just for technical reasons because of asek bekvuras ames, which would have been disrupted or disturbed by imposing what we call the nihugi avelus too early? Or is that because there really are two different stages in mourning? I'm not talking about Kubler-Ross right now. Like there are five stages for Kubler-Ross? Five? I'm looking to you. I don't know why. Doesn't even know what I'm talking about. who are the psychologists? No, nobody's. Robbie.
Denial.
Right? Right? Exactly. Right? Anyways, so I think there are five, right? Is that right? Kubler-Ross? What?
Four? Less mortality and morbid funerals is next semester.
Five stages.
Oh, you haven't got there yet.
We're doing class level now.
It's a series of emotional stages experienced when faced with impending death or death of someone.
Yeah. What do you got? Five stages.
Denial, anger, bargaining, confession, and acceptance.
Yeah. Kubler-Roth. Kubler-Ross.
Yes.
Yeah, what's her first name?
If you're a Sephardi or Ashkenazi.
Elizabeth. What's that?
That's if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi.
Yeah. Very well said. Yeah. So, the halacha, goes way back before Kubler-Ross, actually, I think it was just a piece in the New York Times, in the last 2 weeks, also, that Kubler-Ross is out of style. So you know that really there's a lot to it. Anyways, the halacha goes back before that, and what is its philosophy essentially of coping and of mourning? Is a fascinating topic which we're not going to have so much time to develop, but a little bit of it is the stages and the quantitative stages and what they're intended to accomplish. Aninus, Yom Kivuro Misa, the possibility of being Yom Rishon Doraisa, the Yom Aleph, the first 3 days, the 7 days, the 30 days, the Yud Beis Chodesh. I've often tried to point this out, that there's a very interesting parallel between Simcha and Avel. And this shouldn't surprise us on two levels. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu was the, no less than Moshe Rabbeinu, was mitaken, according to the Yerushalmi, the Rambam quotes this in the Chosavel, Moshe Rabbeinu was mitaken Shiva Simei Mishnah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mitaken Shiva Simei Avelos. And they're quoted together. There are other indications of this as well. Psychologically, right, how you, the excesses of grief, or the management of grief, and the management of joy, are very parallel opposites, but very parallel, you know, before you get to the opposites, of, you know, challenges, right? You know, normally we live a kind of life of equilibrium and, you know, equanimity and balance, and, you know, challenging, you know, situations of sadness, of tragedy, really jolt you from that, and they force you, you know, to behave, to conduct yourself differently, but also to reassess, you know, your life in an important way. And the same is true for moments of great happiness. We much prefer the moments of great happiness. But that there should be a structural parallel between how we manage grief and how we embrace, let's say, joy and happiness is striking, but in my opinion also totally not surprising. Anyways, we don't have time to do all of Dinei Avelos, but we have been doing Simcha, and the idea, Simcha, of course, we've, you know, done quite a bit of, you know, Yom Rishon, Shloshe Yamim, we're going to do more of it, Zayin Yamim, Shloshim Yom, Yud Beis Chodesh. Here's a bit of a little opportunity, the whole concept, really, of Chasen Avel, again, I don't want to speak too much about it right now, but just on the Hashkafa side a little bit, as we're discussing, you know, Chasen Avel is a great convergence. You know, a terrible, don't get me wrong, you know, in the laboratory, you know, if it's theoretical, you know, if it really happens, it's a terrible dilemma. It's a practical issue, and it's also just, you know, a sad situation where you have, you know, these two extremes and excesses coming at you and competing, you know, for your emotional attention and expression. But in the laboratory, it's an amazing opportunity because it highlights what I just said, which is that even though these are opposites, they're parallels, and, you know, the challenges are very similar in many respects. And it also, you know, really pits one against the other and puts it to the test. What's Daraisa? What's Drabanan? You know, to what extent are they mutually exclusive? So the question that we have to deal with in our sugya is, number one, on a technical level, like, how come it seems like, just on a pure Avelis level, in other words, how come it seems like Aninus is more flexible than Avelis, you know, with regard to being overridden, you know, by the priority of Bol Bilas Mitzvah Upore? Or is that just, you know, the illusion, but not really the reality? That might be one of the answers. But that tests the question of the relationship between Aninus and Avelus, which in the bigger picture is also a question about, I'd say, stages of Eidel and of Tzah. And that's where you come into a very major machlokas rishonim between the Rambam in Hilchos Avelus and the Ramban. Ramban, as you know, wrote a book called Toras Adam, where we see the Ramban's powers all the time, whether it's in any piece in his Perush Al HaTorah or Chidushim or Bochamos, that's his range and his insight, and the Ramban's sweeping, you know, control and his contributions. But he Toras Adam is just a magnificent example of the Ramban's part, because that's where he took topics. He took the topic of Avelus and, you know, Bikur Cholim, and he analyzed it as a whole topic. Imagine if he had done that in other things. There's so many chidushim that emerge in Hilchos Avelus and so on from Toras Adam. Anyways, so Toras Adam, the Ramban has a number of pieces where he discusses our sugya and where he discusses the relationship between Aninus and Avelus. So again, I was having some technical and technological difficulties just bringing things up and getting them properly, but I gave you just to look at some of the pieces of the Ramban. I probably have to revise a little bit of it. I might you know, because I wasn't doing it in optimal circumstances. But that's one of the things that we should be looking at, the relationship between Avelus and Aninos. And as I say, the other thing is that Chasen Avel, the whole issue of Chasen Avel, really provides a good opportunity to discuss this of parallelism, to see what's Daraisa, what's Drabanan in each, and also the relationship between the both. Those are two different topics. So we get to discuss, you know, what's Daraisa of Shivat Simei HaMishneh, what's Drabanan, what type of mitzvos are these, what type of mitzvos are Avelus. Is it primarily about, you know, expressing Avelus, and it's a kind of a kiyum, yakra, you know, dechaye, or yakra de mace, or is it more about isurim? So these are things that we get to look at a little bit, you know, in this topic. Bapa nehoga velusa. There are a number of things that come up along the way. So just, we're not going to take so much time. It's a very interesting topic, but I say there are many, many other interesting topics that that are in front of us. So unfortunately, that means we have to skip a little bit. But so we're going to start off with the Makoros. So they'll be going out, and I'll probably have to revise them a little bit, add to them, and maybe change a couple of the Ramaskils because of my difficulties. But that's what to look at in this daf to begin with. First, we're going to do a bit of a survey of the issues, then talk about Aninus and Avelus for the Rambam and the Ramban, and then the Ramban and the Rambam and the Ritva's take on how you read the Gemara in light of these issues. And then some of the other issues, they say, how can Drabanans affect Daraisas? What is Drabanan? What isn't what is Daraisa? Etc. That'll be our analysis of the staff. Then after that, we're going to move on to discuss the Shabbos part. Again, we'll just do a few little things that come up, but mostly we've done a little bit of Hey Amud Aleph anyway. So mostly then after that, we're going to be going to Hey Amud Beis and discussing a couple of Shabbos topics. Again, quickly, because we don't want to get too enmeshed in it. But I did say last year that we would pick up on a few of the topics. So again, in this little section in Ksuvis, you have you know, an opportunity at least to relate to some big klalim, Mekalkel, Sasek a little bit, especially Mlokshin Tzricha L'gufa Dovrshin Meskaven and Psigresha, and especially the big tosis here on Vav Min Aleph. So we'll be doing that quickly, but we'll be doing it. For those of you here last year, we did some of Psigresha, a little bit at least, right on Dav Gimel of Min Aleph. We talked about some of the Rashi Prakim. We talked about Mapis Morsa, a little bit about the Aruch, but speak a little more about that. And then after that, that's Vav Min Aleph, Vav Min Beis. And then after that, we'll move on to Zayin Amud Aleph, and we'll probably do again quickly a little bit about the Yom Tov part of the Sugya, Mitoch. Again, important idea of Shavu L'chol Nefesh and Heter O'chol Nefesh. Then after that, I'm just telling you the general plan, we'll have to reassess. We'll just see how far off we are and how much time it takes. After that comes Zayin and Ches. Zayin and Ches are Kiddushin, Birchas Kiddushin, Birchas Nisuin. Baruch Hashem, we've done a lot about, you know, Chuppah and the Bracha, some of the Brachos. There's more to do, and, you know, you know, it's a good opportunity to know those topics. If you ever find yourself, you know, in a Sheva Bracha, so they call on you. I do want to do them. But what I may do, depending on the timing, is just first skip and do a couple of things on Tesam and Aleph. We have to do Shavinav Shel Chaticha de Isura. That's a very, very important topic. We already have done well enough, if we don't need to do more, if we're not able to do more, Svek Sveika. That's on Daf Tes as well. Svek Sveika, Rov, Hochem B'momenacha, Rov, Ksuva. We did that when we did the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Again, my original plan was to do that very briefly and then fill it in later, but the way just people were asking questions, and then, you know, I got carried away a little bit. So, you know, b'di'eved, we did, I think, a good enough job on Svek Sveika. So that part is okay, but the Shavi Nafshe Chaticha D'Yisura and the question of Kimli, which we talked about a little bit, that we have to do on Tesam and Aleph. Yudam and Aleph, we did the Ksuvah D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan, you know, so that we've done. But so some of the things on Daf Tes and Yud to fill in, you know, we'll probably we may do them just, you know, before we get back to filling in some of the issues of Ches Amud Aleph and Ches Amud Beis. If I can, again, I'd really like to. There's something, you know, about each of the brachos that's, you know, very inspiring, and of course the totality of the brachos together. So I do want to talk about, you know, of course, Ponim Chadoshos and Asher Bara, and you know, even what I alluded to today, which is the division of, you know, Aleph and Gimel and Zayin and Lamed and Yud Beis Chodesh, and, you know, how it affects the different halachas, Alman Shana Salmana, you know, the Bachar Shana Salmana, Alman Shana Besula. So we will do those topics. I'm just not sure if we're going to do them in the right order. Okay, so that's the general plan. Again, we'll try to move a little more quickly than we did. The topics are just very good, so it's just very tempting. And, you know, it's my view is that you really benefit once you invested in a topic, you know, to do more with it, because, you know, you're in a position to appreciate all the ripples and, you know, kind of there's a geometric, you know, benefit, you know, at that point. But, you know, we'll try to get those benefits without, losing out on some of the bigger topics. Also on Tesunaf, I want to do a little more about Kinu Yastira. We had an opportunity to do that in Biasakum or Beinu Tam, but we have to get back, you know, to that, because that's important as well. Okay, any questions? Anybody has any questions about the order of things or anything else? There seem to be a couple of new faces, if there really are. Two new faces? So just get the names, if you don't mind, and, you know, write down just where everybody's been the last couple of times, and then I'll try to be better about, you know, calling the list. So we can put together a list, and that'll be good. Okay, so that's pretty much the plan. If it changes, I'll let you know. But I'm not sure this Sunday whether I'm going to be here. I'll let you know about that as well. If not, we'll shift Sunday to Monday. But otherwise, the schedule is good until the end of February, when I have, you know, pressing business in Eretz Yisrael, but good business. And otherwise, you know, the schedule is stable for a while, which is good. Okay, so I'll let you go prepare, and Robbie will send out some of the Makoros, particularly some of the Rambans. I just I gave the ones from Taurus Adam. I should also mention this. The Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, when he published the Chidush Ramban al Hashas, so he sometimes took the Taurus Adams and he put them on the appropriate daf. That's why in Yuma you find stuff from Taurus Adam, and of course particularly in Moed Katan, where the main Avelis Gemaras are. So on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, there are a few pieces. If you don't have access to Taurus Adam, I just didn't have it, you know, with me, so I couldn't identify. So I gave you some of the Taurus Adam pieces. But another way to, if you don't have Taurus Adam, is to do it through the Rabbi Zalman Meltzer Moed Katan Rambans. I'll try to get that more accurately. If I can get it to Robbie first, good. If not, then Thursday I'll just give you a better accounting of what those are. Okay? So, Hatzlacha, and we're looking forward to, you know, more amazing Ksuvas topics. Thank you. That's where I'm going.